Exodus 20, giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. We have the Ten Commandments from verse 3 to verse 17 of this chapter, set in the midst of such solemn surroundings at Mount Sinai, surroundings that will instill into us something of the presence and the fear of the Lord. And I trust as we look at these commandments, we will see how relevant they are, how important they are, how up to date they are for you and I. The first four commandments has been called the first table of the law, and really deals with our obligations to God Himself. And then the other commandments, our relationship with our fellow man. So it is fit that these commandments, the first four commandments particularly, are put first, because man had a maker to love before he had a neighbour to love. Can it be expected that you can have a true love to other people if you don't have a love to God in the first place? And so we have the right order here given by the Lord. And the commandment that we're in is the third one, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We have said to you that perhaps there is not another commandment that is broken more frequently, more blatantly, and universally than this third commandment, the commandment that has to do with the name of God. And we looked last Lord's Day at the substance of the third commandment. And the substance, of course, is to do with our attitude towards the name of God. The psalmist calls upon us to give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. And we thought about the revelation of his name. The name of God is a very comprehensive term. You will know that in the scriptures there are many names given to God, many Hebrew names. Some of them are translated into the same word in the English language as God. We did look at some of those names from the Old Testament. And we also looked at the names of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We thought about God's titles, his attributes, his ordinances, his word and his works, which according to the teaching of the Catechism, and rightly so, all are part of what it is to have a respect for God and for his holy name. We thought about the reverence of God's name. Holy and reverent is his name. A name to be respected and revered, particularly among God's people. And then we finished with the regard for God's name and how that we can legitimately use this name in prayer, in praise, in benediction, in solemn oaths, and in witnessing. So we come to the second and the third points under the message that we're preaching here on the third commandment. And the second thought is the sin against the third commandment. You can sin against God's name. And to understand the meaning of this sin, we must first of all grasp the meaning of the terms that are used in our text. The Hebrew verb translated into the English here, to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That word take means to bring forth, lift up, employ, or use. And the word vain denotes vanity, emptiness, frivolity, nothingness, evil, or falsehood. And so to take in vain means to lift up in an evil cause, or to use falsely, or to employ in an empty, frivolous way. And this can be done when we use the name of God in an improper fashion. You have it on the outline, on the announcement sheet, the improper ways that the Lord's name can be used. Levity. The word levity simply means a lack of serious thought, frivolity, undignified. From Psalm 96 and verse 4, we learn, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And we use the Lord's name properly only when we use it soberly and intelligently. That is, with reason and understanding, for a good purpose, for His own great glory, and for our good and the good of others. To take the Lord's name in vain includes using it frivolously. God has given to us a sense of humour. Nothing wrong with laughter in its proper place. There's nothing wrong with humour. There's nothing wrong with a joke. But I have to say this. It must be kept under control. Like every other faculty that we have, it must be kept under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. It is never permissible to use the name of God in a joke. God's name is nothing to be joked about. And maybe I can just put in a little word. It's just a wee pep thought of mine. When people do tell jokes about heaven and they use the Lord's name, I want to tell you it's improper. It's an improper use of the Lord's name if that is done. Any humour that includes the name of God, His person, His titles, His works, is of the devil. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain by levity. The second improper use of the name of God is perjury. Perjury is the act of confirming falsehood with an oath. It is lying. And lying with the added guilt of involving the name of God in a lie. God says, ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Leviticus 19 and verse 12. Sinning in this way is widespread. It is commonplace for people to invoke the name of God as a witness to their truthfulness, while all the time they are swearing lies. That's all they're doing in the courts of our land. When it comes to serious matters, people will swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They're doing it before God. Sometimes it is accompanied with the very solemn act of placing the hand upon the Bible, the Word of God. And so in court you're saying, I'm telling the truth before God, I'm doing it in God's name. And if that is done and somebody goes into the dock and lies, they have perjured themselves, and they've perjured themselves in a very serious matter because they've used the name of God to tell a lie. Magistrates often profane the name of God by including it in the oath of their office, and then neglecting those things that they promised and swore to do. And even Christians can be guilty of this. Sometimes we hear Christians speaking, and when they want to try and get someone to really tell the truth, they will say, before the Lord, we're before the Lord now. And so what they're really saying is, what we're saying here is before God, I'm using His name now. And all the things that I'm going to say, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you because God is watching on. He's listening to what we're saying. And Christians will use that term before the Lord. And in some cases, they will just go on to lie and speak falsehood. And they do it before God, using God's name. What an awful sin it is against the commandment of God that we have here in the third commandment. And ministers and elders commit the same breach of the third commandment by unfaithfulness to the solemn vows that they make at their ordination. When someone is ordained to the Christian ministry or ordained to the eldership of the church, they take solemn oaths in God's name before the Lord what they promise to do. And if they do not live up to the oaths that they've given before God, they are perjuring themselves. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain by perjury. Blasphemy is another way that the name of God can be used in an improper sense. Blasphemy is reproaching or reviling God. It's speaking against God. It is contempt for His person, His worship, or his word. In Leviticus chapter 24, we read of the son of an Israelitish woman who cursed by the name of Jehovah. And the punishment is meted out to him. Let me just read those verses to you. It's Leviticus 24 and verse 10. The son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and the man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, and he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. That shows you how serious God viewed the blasphemy of his name in Old Testament times. But there is a much more common form of blasphemy. As we have seen, one of the meanings of the Hebrew word translated vain means emptiness, vanity, or a worthless thing. To blaspheme, therefore, is to hold God to be worthless. It is to treat him as nothing. And so most sinners live perpetually in blasphemy, for they live as if God does not exist. And they live as if God has not spoken. And so therefore, by the very lives that they live, contrary to God and contrary to his word, they're blaspheming God every day. Because to them, God is a vain thing, it's an empty thing, and a person not to be regarded. Apostasy is an improper use of God's name. Apostasy is to use the Lord's name to depart from his truth or deny his revelation. Jeremiah had to contend with prophets in his time who prophesied lies in the Lord's name. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 25. The Lord says, I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Chapter 27 and verse 15. Another reference to this, where the Lord says concerning the false prophets, I have not sent them, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. And one other reference in chapter 29 and verse 9. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You see that now? These men were unsound men. They were men who were not sent by God. They didn't have God's commission. They didn't have God's anointing. But they went forth in God's name, and they spoke to the people in God's name. And my friends, that's apostasy. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke about those who would one day say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Perhaps the most outstanding example in New Testament times was Judas Iscariot, a false man, and yet unknown to the other disciples what the true condition of his heart was. They lived together for 3.5 years, they ministered together for 3.5 years, and undoubtedly Judas Iscariot, with other people out there, used the name of the Lord to preach, cast out devils, to heal the sick. And so comes the judgment day. And they say, Lord, do you not remember what I did in your name? That they were false men. They did not have a heart that was regenerated by the Spirit of God. And the Lord would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The name of God can be used improperly by hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another. It is professing the Lord, but the life does not tally with the profession that is made. It's a pretense. And very sadly, there's a lot of people pretending to be Christians. What an awful day of awakening it will be when they come to stand before the Lord with all their pretense, with all their hypocrisy. Applied to the third commandment, hypocrisy lifts up the name of the Lord as a cover for sin. In Jude verse 4, we are warned of certain men who crept in unawares, crept into the church, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter warns us against our own inclination toward hypocrisy as free. And we are free. We are free from sin. We're not free from righteousness. And we're not free from the law. We're free from sin. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. 1 Peter 2:16. And Paul adds to this, brethren, if ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Now this is what Jesus Christ spoke about when he referred to those who say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. Understand that. People who take the name of the Lord upon their lips and they say, Lord, Lord, they're maybe addressing him in prayer, they're maybe addressing him in praise, but they do not the things that he says. What is it? It's hypocrisy. You can't know the Lord and not speak to obey him and walk with him. Prayer without practice is hypocrisy. Praise without adoration violates the third commandment. You might be able to pray like a saint. You can preach with tremendous eloquence and seeming conviction. You can praise with fervent lips. I tell you this, God is not deceived. He's not deceived. The one that sees your heart. You can also use the name of God improperly by profanity. Profanity is the most frequent and most accepted form of taking the Lord's name in vain. It is an irreverent use of God's name or interests. Using God's name without any fear of his person. It may be used in a light and thoughtless way. Often profanity is the use of the Lord's name to curse. And there's nothing new with this either. Jeremiah says, because of swearing the land mourneth. Now how often will you hear out there in society people using the name of God in this way, in a profane way, and they will say, good God, or oh God, or my God, or for God's sake. You hear it all the time. Or for some, it's the word Jesus or the word Christ, two of the names of God. To make matters worse, profanity is almost exclusively practiced against the Lord Jehovah. Heathens do not profane the names of their idols. You don't have it in false religion either, generally. You do hear some Muslims who use the name of Allah lightly. But even in Western countries, there would be an uproar if the television or the radio programs started to use the name of Allah or Muhammad as a swear word. And you get it all the time. You listen to the radio, you listen to the television, and the name of the Lord is used in a profane way constantly. But is it not true that even professing Christians can often be guilty of profanity? Do we not hear some who profess to know the Lord use the Lord's name lightly? And maybe they will say, oh God, or for God's sake. How sad it is to hear even little children using these expressions and their conversation literally sprinkled with the term, oh God. And we must not forget, and I don't want to stand on any toes here, but we must not forget the substitute words either. People think that they're committing a less crime or no crime at all by substituting the names of God like saying jeepers creepers. Where does that come from? It's Jesus Christ. It's a substitute word. By Jove, you've heard it. It's an abbreviation of Jehovah. Crikey. It's the name Christ. And this is something perhaps we're more guilty of, the word goodness. There is none good but God. And the attribute of goodness belongs to God alone. There's nothing good in us. And only God is good. And that word goodness really is related to the name of God. And it comes from God. G-O-D is an extended version. Goodness. Our God is good. And yet so often it can just fall from our lips without thought. It can be used in an improper sense by insincerity. God's name is used in vain when we pretend to worship Him. And it's only from the lips, not from the heart. It's possible, you know, to draw near to God with our lips, and our heart is far away from Him. Our praise needs to be guarded. It's so easy to come to the house of God on the Lord's Day and take our hymn books and sing the hymns that we sing. Where so often the name of God is there, we sing it without thinking. We sing it without any kind of reverence. We sing it, and it's just words that fall from our lips in song. And we have to say it's done thoughtlessly. And when that happens, we're taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's just empty to us. So we need to guard our praise. Christmas time, every year, songwriters vie with each other to produce a Christmas hit. And very often they use the name of Christ in these songs, and they use it totally in vain. Anyone with an ounce of sense knows that these singers and songwriters are not trying to exalt Christ. All they're trying is to make a lot of money. That their song will be a hit at Christmas time. Guard using familiar expressions where the name of God is. And maybe this is one that we're most guilty of. You know, it becomes just a habit of saying, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Jehovah bless you. We go to the door on the Sabbath day. Very often we'll say that to the congregation as we leave. May the Lord help us in our heart to really mean it. For unless we do, we're taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Our God be with you. If it just falls off your lips, comes from your mouth the way you say, how are you? And you don't really mean it. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's insincere. And then one other little thought here of an improper use of the name of God is when we use it repetitiously. We need to guard against using God's name in vain in a repetitious way, a thoughtless, careless manner. I think I alluded to this last Lord's Day. Maybe it's nervousness within us. Maybe it's just simply a habit. But it often happens in prayer. And I'm not being critical here. I'm just pointing it out so that we take care in this matter. When we come to pray, that we're not repeating the name of the Lord over and over and over and over and over again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. You know that kind of thing? Because you see, you're putting in the name of the Lord there in a repetitious sense. The Lord's Prayer. A number of verses that outline the Lord's Prayer in the words that Jesus gave. There's only once is the name, a name of God mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. So that's a good example to go by. Our Father. Our Father. And that's the only mention of God's name or one of the names of God in that prayer. We need to take heed to it. Lest we, in an improper fashion, use the holy name of God. I finish with my third point, and that is the sentence of the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Taking the Lord's name is considered a light thing today. We have to say that. It's so common. It's so accepted. Some of God's people don't even cringe or shudder when they hear God's name blasphemed by the ungodly round about. When bombarded by its irreverent and careless use on the television, it is so quickly ignored and dismissed. Well, you break the sixth commandment, or the seventh commandment, or the eighth commandment, you will come under attack and people will condemn you for it. But when it comes to the third commandment, it doesn't really matter, you see. The world looks on with complacency. After all, it's such a light thing, it's such a small thing, they will say. It's one of the ten. And Almighty God puts it in there with murder. He puts it in there with stealing. He puts it in there with adultery and the other commandments. God does not think it a light thing when his name is taken in vain. Have we become so complacent about a divine law where God has declared, "Thou shalt not"? Do we find it acceptable? Are we prepared just to overlook it and tolerate it? But then I ask the question, what does God say? How does God look at it? Does he have an opinion? Has he given a verdict? He most certainly has. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's how God considers the matter. God doesn't consider it of small importance. You know, that ought to make us sit up and take stock and ponder this matter carefully. No sin or transgression of God's law, no matter how small or how minor it might be in our eyes, it's not a small and minor thing in God's eyes. Any breach of the third commandment is a serious matter. There is no such thing as innocently taking the name of the Lord in vain. Guiltless. That's what God says. He will not hold him guiltless. The word guiltless in the Hebrew is the word clean. The Lord will not hold him to be clean that taketh his name in vain. This is a solemn assertion. The test of moral cleanliness is the attitude of a man to God's name. He is clean or unclean before God as he uses the name of God in a right way or in a wrong fashion. To be not guiltless is the same as saying guilty. God holds a man guilty who uses his name in a vain and empty way. The eternal judge sits upon his throne. He looks upon the sons of men. He hears his name being used in a lightly, thoughtlessly, and vainly. And his solemn verdict is guilty. Guilty. I finish with Deuteronomy 28. And a couple of verses here. Verses 58 and 59 that records the judgment pronounced against those who break this commandment. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And rightly so, it's standing out there in block capital letters for us all to see. The Lord thy God, then, verse 59, the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. It has to be said that all of God's plagues are dreadful, but there are some of God's plagues that are wonderful. That's the word that was used here. In other words, they carry extraordinary marks of God's power and justice. When does that happen? Well, sometimes it happens in this life. This is the sentence. The Lord does not hold them guiltless. We should be careful, therefore, how the Lord's name is used, and never use his name lightly or thoughtlessly. Never forget whose name it is. The angels in contemplation of God and his wonderful name, they veil their faces and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." And so should we. Sanctify the Lord's name. Set it apart as a holy name. Hold His name with high esteem. May God help us to be keepers of this command. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we pray for understanding. We pray for forgiveness. How often we have used this name, even as believers, in a careless way, in a thoughtless way. Help us, Lord, to revere that name in all its forms. Put a bridle upon our lips, in our mouths. Help us, Lord, to be careful in the things we say, in all our words that leave our mouths. For we are reminded that there's coming a day of judgment when we shall be called to give an account of every idle word that has been spoken. And Lord, among those idle words, using the name of the Lord vainly, help us to reverence His name and sanctify it, set it apart, and always use it as a holy name in the right way for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to sing one verse of the closing hymn. It's the hymn 20, number 20 in the hymn book. How glorious Zion's courts appear, the city of our God, His throne He hath established here. I'm in the wrong one. I'm in the paraphrase. Hymn 20. If you were following me, you were in the wrong place. It's the page 183. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, our Saviour divine. All power and dominion forever be Thine. We sing of Thy mercy with joyful acclaim, for Thou hast redeemed us. All praise to Thee.